Welcome to Cognitive Rampage Podcast. I'm your host, Adam Lowry. Hope you're taking care of you. Hope you're living your cognitive rampage. A little special opening. I want to ask you if you have eaten at the Wahlburgers in downtown Orlando, Florida. Yes, there is a Wahlburgers in downtown Orlando, Florida now, and I wanted to give that Wahlburgers a shout out. Thank you, Mark and Paul, for bringing that restaurant here and bringing some good burgers to 200 South Orange Avenue. That's downtown Orlando. But Wahlburgers is trying to change the way that people eat burgers. I mean, it is the staple food of the United States, if you will. But definitely check out Wahlburgers. It's a great place to eat. I love where they opened up, too, right there on the corner of the SunTrust Center Bank downtown on South Street. That used to be a sandwich shop. Used to be a bunch of different things, but it's a good spot right down the corner of Church Street almost. But they're open Sundays through Thursdays, 11 a.m. to 11 p.m., Friday to Saturday, 11 a.m. to 12 a.m. Again, that's 200 South Orange Avenue. But, you know, Wahlburgers has a history. Paul is a renowned chef. He has been in food his whole life. And I watched a lot of the back end story on some of it, too. It's pretty neat if you look up online some of the stories on how this came to be and how hard Paul has worked to push this Wahlburgers name and push the good food out. That's what really matters. I mean, so stop by the Wahlburgers downtown Orlando, 200 South Orange Avenue, and pick you up one of those fresh, tasty, never frozen Wahlburgers. Next on the shout out map is Aqua Hydrate. Ryan Totka actually mentions Aqua Hydrate on the show. There's a beautiful story behind it, actually, on how Ryan got involved with Aqua Hydrate and how he was helping out a 15-year-old with a music career that led to Aqua Hydrate, that led to Mark Wahlberg, that led to P. Diddy. It was pretty wild. But for those of you that understand that water is definitely taking on transitions and transformations as we get smarter and grow in science in our world, but Aqua Hydrate is a good tasting water. But the idea of it, for the most part, is not about the good tasting water, right? But it fuels a performance lifestyle. There's two times the electrolytes than any leading electrolyte enhanced water. Has elevated alkaline pH levels and helps balance and restore hydration levels during performance and after without any of the sugar or the calories. That's the stuff that really starts to bother you. I get upset. My stomach gets upset when I drink too much Gatorade or Powerade or something when I'm either working out or just busy that day. But Aqua Hydrate's a way to do that. You know, it, like I said, double the electrolytes, enhanced with alkaline and a pH level, but it's great tasting as well, even with those additions to it, but it's a way to stay elevated, you know, and keep balanced and hydrated. P. Diddy likes to talk about that it's the hangover cure, but that's all on you, P. Diddy. But yeah, pick a bottle of Aqua Hydrate, test it out yourself, try it after a long night out drinking, see if P. Diddy's right. If not, drink it all day. Keep that pH level up, keep the electrolytes flowing, but check out Aqua Hydrate, and that's Aqua Hydrate, HYDRATE.com. That's it. No more ads. Let's get to the show. This is my friend, Ryan Totka. Hope you're living your cognitive rampage. The limited edition has only got a few more days left of the book, and then the black edition will become available online everywhere and even in a few bookstores, too. So we are going on tour starting April 15th. Down in Tampa. We're going to be radio broadcast, podcast. We're hitting all kinds of places, but we're starting in Tampa. We'll be in Fort Lauderdale. Then we'll be back in Orlando, back in Jacksonville, then heading up to New York and Boston area, but through Atlanta, Chattanooga, Nashville. We have a big event planned up there with a bunch of country music artists. That will be a fun podcast. Then we'll be over in DC to meet up with Lee Camp and the Redacted Tonight crew. From DC, we go to Baltimore. From Baltimore, we will be in Philly, Philly to New York, New York to Boston, and then a special secret broadcast from a secret location that we won't tell until the end. But we are also filming our documentary, or finishing the documentary, Chemical Incarceration, on this tour, as we are stopping at about 20 universities along the way. So stay updated. Anyway, On to something more important. The guest on the podcast today, Ryan Totka, is joining me. Now, Ryan Totka, I have heard that name probably throughout my entire Orlando professional career, when I was in the nightclub business for a while, et cetera, et cetera. But it's an extensive background. I would tell you to go to 5 or 4 of his business websites to define what this man does. But he's been an entrepreneur since birth, a webmaster by now, a business developer, a content cultivator. Ryan does a lot of things, but you know, for the most part, I really like the guests to say what they do because it really comes from, you know, their perception, their view, and how they see it. So, if you would welcome Ryan Totka all the way from Dallas, Texas, live on the Cognitive Rampage podcast. What's up, Ryan?
Hey, Adam. How's it going?
Oh man, it's good. I know you heard the intro there, man. Trying to lead you in.
That was the best description I may have ever heard of myself. I might have to hire you full time.
I'm an expensive hype man.
Yeah. Hey, if you do a good job, you should be you should demand a good high dollar. So.
Yeah, what's that? What's Bruce Buffer charge for one sentence?
It's crazy. He's got a trademark, so I mean, every time it's used, he gets a little royalty on it.
Oh my god! I mean, that's got to develop nice. Where you got a voice where you know what? I'm getting paid $1 million to say one sentence.
That's the whole goal in life. If we could do that, we wouldn't be doing this right now.
or we'd be really rich right now.
Exactly.
Man, so if you would, you know, throw your resume out there from your perception, really, on how you like to convey it to people and what you do, man.
Like you said, I'm an internet or an entrepreneur since I was a kid. You know, I started when I was a kid. I used to shovel snow, rake leaves, sing Christmas carols. I had a paper route, you know, doing whatever I could do as a kid to make money. And you know, in high school or middle school, you know, used to sell blow pops and airheads. You know, that was kind of the progression. And then right after high school, when the internet got big, started developing some internet brands, building websites, doing SEO. My passion was always sports. I've always played sports all my life. I always wanted to do something in sports, you know, even if it wasn't playing. I almost fell into what I did now with combining sports, the internet, and business. It led me to where I am today, I get to work with athletes and celebrities for corporate appearances, speaking engagements, endorsements, autograph signings, you know, anything that companies that want to hire and, you know, athletes for, and get to do their, create their brands and, you know, help them market themselves online and offline.
You know, I got to ask, man, the show Ballers keeps going through my head, and I got to know, and like my wife is a nurse practitioner, ARMP and ER. And when she watches those ER shows that are, you know, fake, she kind of goes like, man, that's not how it is. So coming from you, that's actually living that lifestyle that does that, how much of that is just Hollywood played up? What's the realities of that?
It's pretty spot on, you know, especially when they highlight the athletes, you know, getting in trouble, the things they do, from bad tweets to getting drunk in clubs to, you know, just doing crazy things. And it's pretty spot on, you know, where a lot of these Hollywood things will, you know, twist it around. But, you know, in the sports world, I've seen it all, you know, hanging out with these guys, you hang out with the Christian types where, you know, they get, you know, paid top dollar to speak to churches and colleges, to the Dennis Rodman types where they get paid to hang out at clubs and drink. So I get to kind of see both ends of the spectrum.
You know, that also makes me wonder, I'm pretty sure you probably read Phil Jackson's book, what, 85 Rings? But, you know, managing that kind of talent or being around that kind of, I'm just going to say, those egos, man, and that go from both sides, man. How do you, I mean, I know I'm diving right into it, but how do you manage to float back and forth chameleon like that?
It is, you do have to deal with different types of personality. So it's, you just got to know what you're getting yourself into. I mean, you know, there's so many different personalities, like I said, from the Christian speakers to, you know, the Terrell Owenses to the Dennis Rodmans to Tim Tebow, and everybody just has their own personality. That's who they are. You know, at the end of the day, you know, you're creating opportunities for them. So, you know, you're doing good things, and, you know, you build a trust over the years with these guys, you know, bringing them deals. And, you know, once they trust you with one thing, then you provide opportunities for the next thing and give them suggestions saying, hey, why don't we do this? And you get to parlay a lot of other businesses as well. You know, because my whole world is all, you know, sports related. It's pretty cool because there's so many different things that you can provide these guys. And, you know, even, you know, on a personal level, like a guy will come into town, like I just to Wayne Corbett to a Cowboys Jets game. And like, you think that, you know, Wayne Corbett was one of the best Jets of all time. You know, he's never been to Cowboys Stadium, and you're bringing him on the sidelines and giving him a tour and getting him the sweets. And like, he's like a kid in a candy store when he goes. And, you know, this is a guy that I, you know, grew up, one of my favorite players. I had his card in my locker, and now you're, you know, showing him around the town and showing him, you know, all the VIP stuff.
Well, it sounds like the answer to the question there of how you maintain that is you just have a passion for what you do.
Yeah. I mean, if you're passionate in what you do, it's like, I don't even feel like it's work. It's fun. You know, my business is, like I said, it's in the sports and entertainment industry. So I'm loving what I do. And, you know, it's, if you can make money doing it, great. I think that's the goal. If you can combine your hobby and turning it into a job, I mean, it doesn't get much better than that.
What for you influenced you? Is that being okay to do? Because let's face it, a lot of homes are not structured that way. You're not raised in a sense to follow your dreams and combine those. It's more about being safe and steady. You know, what do you think drived or influenced you to always do that? You mentioned it now that since a kid, you've always been motivated, but what do you think helped shape that was the path or is okay to do?
I mean, I think if you start doing it as a kid, it's in your blood. You kind of, it just becomes natural. You know, and I think once you work for somebody else and you start, you know, doing the 9 to 5, the repetitive, the, you know, same boring things over and over and over, you realize like, that's not for me. You know, it's some people like that. They like the stability and the 9 to 5, you know, the routine, but I like the challenge that every day is different. The what's going to happen tomorrow, you know, you make a lot of mistakes, but then, you know, you learn from the mistakes. I mean, when people say like, if you went back, what would you do different? You know, sometimes everything happens for a reason. And, you know, the one opportunity leads to the next. At the time, it may not make sense, but months later, you might be like, this is why I met this person or this happened this way. And it always seems to work out that way.
Man, I love that answer. What would you say to somebody, man, that may be nervous about maybe approaching their dream or pushing something that's a passion that makes them feel good into that unknown?
I mean, you can't be afraid of risk. You got to, you know, sometimes go all in. And, you know, a lot of times people think that, you know, they should be, you know, paid. You know, I can't do that because it's not paid. Or, you know, I tell them, you know, you got to get your foot in the door, whether it's if you want to work for a sports team, you want to, you know, you got to sweep the floors, check the mail, you know, be an intern, go get coffee, whatever it takes to get your foot in the door. Because as you work yourself up the corporate ladder, you know, more opportunities are going to come about. You're going to meet people, players, executives, and you got to take those risks. You can't just, you know, expect things to come to you. You got to, you know, sometimes even if it costs you money, I mean, that's a lot of the things I do. It's you're outlaying money first, and then hopefully at the end, it turns into something bigger. But you just gotta do it. You gotta put yourself out there. You gotta, you know, make yourself, you know, mobile for sure, because not all the opportunities come from just one spot. You know, you gotta move and shake and you know, be where the things are. You know, in my business, it's just like go 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 go, and people think, oh, you're just going doing fun stuff, and yeah, it's fun, but like that's my job. That's when I'm most productive, is when I'm in that environment and meeting those types of people and creating the opportunities.
Yeah. You talk about the environment, how it moves us too, and trying to find our way to that environment, man. But it just seems like since you were a kid, that drive has pushed you to develop something new. And a lot of times in our lives, we can look back and maybe remember that one, you know, influential moment or story. You know, what story was it at a young age, man, where it bit you, whatever it was, you know, that pushed you here? What was it that bit you?
I mean, I think maybe almost as I got a little bit older, you know, one of my idols was Mark Cuban growing up, and you know, he's is a sports internet, you know, kind of you know, the type of person that you know, I was kind of just a risk taker, and you know, by seeing some of his philosophies and you know, the way he is, and sometimes, you know, it's just, you know, risk taker, but you know, you speak what's on your mind, and you know, it's just a cool I think people should always have a, you know, some type of mentor that, you know, the thing is, one of the slogans I like is, you know, you should never be the smartest person in the room. You know, the people you hang out with, you should always be hanging out with people who are, you know, ahead of you, above you. That's the way you're always growing yourself. You know, if you go into the, you know, somewhere and you're the, you know, the person that's at the top, you're kind of, your motivation to keep going higher is not there. But if you, you know, you're hanging out with people that are, you know, you think you're doing good, and then you're going and seeing these guys with, you know, 100-foot yachts and, you know, owning teams and stuff. You're like, man, what am I doing wrong here?
Yeah, perception and comparison can do that. It's kind of like the rookies that come into the league. You know, they're leaving college or whatnot, and they're at the top of the game with the 100-foot yachts, if you will, metaphorically. And then they got to go through this filter of you guys and welcome themselves to this new place where they're not the best in the room, per se. I love the mentor idea because that's so crucial. You know, I call them virtual and physical mentors in my book, that people, you know, you can take on a virtual mentor. You never really have to meet them per se. You may get that lucky chance and do that one day, but you can mentor from afar like that. And I compared that, how that saying of not being the smartest in the room, on how athletes that are leaving college go from being the best in the room to now filter through you all to be now you're not the best in the room.
Yeah. I mean, it's like you said, it's just like you're the big dog in high school and then you're going to college, and then you may not. Sometimes people get too much of an ego and it could be the worst thing that happens to them. And you just got to have that balance and know where you are in your career. You know, just keep bettering yourself and just, you know, finding people that you can learn from, finding the mentors, the teammates, the coworkers, the higher up can learn from.
You know, as you were talking about the mentorship and being around those good people, managing the egos, if you will, or those personalities as they're entering, you know, and how much do you see that get in the way of young athletes that come into the league that all of a sudden are inflated, that can't control all of that?
Yeah, it happens all the time. I mean, it's, you know, you see it all the time. You just, either you can adapt to it, or you can learn, and but some people just can't change, you know, especially in sports when, you know, people get second and third chances. It's like, okay, you know, you messed up once, we're going to give you a second chance, and you do it again. It's like, you know, how many, you can't keep doing that stuff without, you know, you got to, you know, you got to be a professional. And a lot of these guys either adapt and becoming a professional, or they just, you know, there's a lot of few guys in the league right now, you know, I don't want to name too many names, but there's guys now that like are just on this, like, you know, these party rampages where they think they're invincible and, you know, and just they think that, you know, they're top of the world. But it's like, you know, in sports, you're one injury away from, you know, your end of your career, a lot of these, you know, especially football. You know, and a lot of these guys are just get caught up in the, you know, the lifestyle outside the game. But it's, again, it's all who you surround yourself around. If you surround yourself with ablers and they say, oh yeah, do this, do that, and you're, you know, some of these guys get joy out of, you know, being the, having these entourages and being the, you know, the main guy paying for the stuff and taking these guys around, or you know, you have somebody that's there to be like, dude, you need to stop and you need to, like, you know, focus and get your life back in order. Cause, you know, things could happen so fast, especially in sports.
Yeah. That brings up a topic that I've been researching over the last year or two that is probably going to be my next book, but, my third book, but, how much, you know, when you see the fall of the athlete or the athlete run their course to where either it's over injury wise or just professionally, or they're just done, you know, that after effect of when it's over, because they're obviously trying to find work through guys like you and doing that. How tough is that struggle when that fall happens?
Again, it's all how they adapt. If they know they're getting towards the end of their career to, you know, parlay, they have to start, you know, realize and come to the fact that, like, okay, like, it's, you're coming to the end of your career. You have to figure out what's the next move. You know, if they're smart, they would have networked along their career to, you know, a lot of these guys to, you know, go into business after. And if you're smart, you know, you would be creating that network while you're still playing, instead of just waiting for it right after and you're out of the league. Now you lost touch with everybody. So if they're a smart player, you would realize your network is valuable, that your current status of people that you're around you now, you know, could lead to the opportunities later on. I know a few people that are, you know, they're in the money management business, and, you know, he goes and speaks to these young kids about talent, teaching them, like, you know, you never know how long your career is going to last, and you have to network and create these opportunities while you're playing. That could go a long way after your career. That's very important to, you know, realize that you gotta, you know, kind of network with the people that are around you in the current situation.
Yeah, man. excuse me. I, you know, we talk about the money and the loss. I think it's a staggering statistic. I think it's somewhere in the NBA, like 60% of those that fall out within the first 3 to 4 years lose most of the money that they've taken on. The NFL's just underneath them, I think.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to believe when you look at some of the salaries and you're like, how could they possibly go through all this money? But when you see some of the things that they spend their money on, you know, having, you know, multiple kids and just blowing it on just crazy cars and jewelry. And
what's the craziest thing you've ever seen bought?
Well, I think just massive amounts of cars that not needed. I mean, jewelry, you know, when you get some people like the Floyd Mayweather, it's like, you know, the guy's raking in cash, so it's not going to affect him, but it's, you know, it's a lot of these, you know, the things like the 80s and 90s NBA guys that, you know, they may have not made $1 million at one point in their career. And, you know, after taxes, after child support, after, you know, all these, you know, buying houses all over the place, you know, and they didn't have a backup plan afterwards, you know, for their next move. And, you know, some of them are doing appearances for $1,000, you know. You know, the other athletes like the Magic Johnsons who are, you know, commanding $100,000 appearance. So it could go either way. You know, a lot of these guys play together. It's like you could either be the Magic where you're owning Starbucks and gyms and sports teams, or you could be the other guy who, you know, is taking $500, $1,000, you know, for a appearance just because you're trying to kind of get anything you can. But again, it's people who had their mind thinking ahead and not just in the moment. You know, because things like this commercial say that life comes at you fast. You just never know.
Yeah. I would probably imagine just like the lottery anywhere else that, once the contract sign or the player is looking to go pro, et cetera, that the, you know, you guys probably act more as family filters than you do anything.
I think I lost you there. Can you repeat that?
Yeah, no worries. I said that you guys probably end up acting more like a family filter, if you will, because once the contract's getting signed, I'm sure the family comes out of the woodwork and everybody's chasing them down. And not to imagine or even mention the amount of probably people that try to pitch them every day to sponsor, invest, et cetera, and everything.
Oh, it's crazy. Yeah. A lot of these guys, yeah, every day people have an idea. They have, you know, business idea, you know, investment to put in. And it's like, you know, it's tough. That's the biggest thing, is establishing the trust. And I think, you know, with my business, I'm bringing them money. I'm not asking them for anything. And I think after you know, a few times, they kind of established a trust. They're like, hey, this guy's actually doing good for me. You know, I'm not asking for them stuff half the time. Like, you know, I'm not asking for autographs either. Even if it's like a favorite player, it's just, you know, you're working with them. You're bringing them opportunities. And that's kind of how I've always lived, is, you know, don't ask for things for people. Like, you know, do good things for them, show them what you can do, and, you know, maybe later on down the road the favor will return. But, like, you know, it's I think if people train their way to think that way, you know, to, you know, if you do good things for people, you know, it does come back in return in one way or another.
Yeah, I think people have a way after a while to see your genuineness. And I think you got to probably imagine that at a young age, those athletes that do become successful, their bullshit filter probably gets pretty good, and their paranoia radar is out pretty heavy too.
Yeah, I mean, you would think some of them do, some of them don't. But, I mean, it's the ones that, you know, because they're surrounded by so many factors. You've got families, you've got their friends, you've got their agents, you've got their financial manager. So you do have a lot of people, you know, nagging them in different directions and telling them this is what you should do. And it's like, you know, there's some stories where, like, you know, families are stealing money from the kids, you know. So it's like you think you could trust the family, and then they're the ones that are actually doing the, you know. So it's like, then at that point, they're like, who do I trust now? If I can't trust the family, you know, how am I supposed to trust, you know, this agent guy who's, you know, just out there to make money? So it's, I mean, you can see why they are hard to trust, because, you know, again, what a lot of times you have these, you know, friends that are there from the beginning, and they might change later on. They're like, oh, I don't have to work now because my friend made it. So it's definitely a, I see why, you know, it is hard to trust. You know, I think that you have to definitely, you can, you know, I myself, you know, I like to trust people from the beginning, but you still have to have your guard up a little bit, because you just never know, you know, some people's intentions.
And, you know, that's where I was going to say, what's part of your method, if you will, to build the trust with them? I mean, I understand you're bringing them good projects, et cetera, like that. But for you, You know, what's a part of your method, if you will, that, you know, I know it's from the heart, et cetera. I don't mean to take the heart out of the method.
Yeah. I mean, just again, like explaining, like, here's what I can offer. Here's almost like my background and my resume of guys that I work with kind of, you know, will, you know, kind of speak for itself when I say, hey, you know, if I'm pitching a guy, hey, let me build your website for you. It's going to generate you opportunities. You know, here's 30 other sites that I've done for these athletes. Here's deals that I've done. It's almost like I almost don't really have to sell it too much because I'm just kind of showing them, here's what I've done, you know, no cost to you. I'm going to take the risk because I know that I can help you out. So it's pretty easy for me because I've kind of done it over the years. You know, but if it's somebody from the beginning where you're just starting off, you know, you got to get your foot in somewhere. So it's, you know, you got to, like I said, like from the beginning, like even if it's, you know, working for somebody for free and just showing them, you know, hey, just to build up experience and show them, and, you know, they might introduce you to somebody else, and it just kind of snowballs from there.
Yeah, you mentioned, and even when I read your bio and did some looking on you, and even when I know about you here locally from Orlando, is, you know, you tend to, and like I do, which is kind of why I really respect it, you live in this flow state almost to where you are open to ideas while still focused on another goal. So you allow yourself this movement. And so that leads to a question is, what is a method in your life that you do that helps you able to live in that flow state of moving projects and moving life like that?
I think one is not being mobile, not necessarily just being in one place all the time. Like right now I'm between Dallas, LA, and Orlando. Kind of I bounce around between those. But then I'm also going to New York a lot, you know, going to Vegas for events, going to wherever the Super Bowls are at. So it's, I think, you know, it's just kind of, you know, not having too many attachments. I think, you know, if it was different, if I had, you know, a wife and kids and dog and stuff like that at the time, a lot of these opportunities might not be able to flow like that just because, you know, you the more responsibilities and attachments you have like that, it will kind of take, you know, slow down a lot of the other stuff. So it's kind of a balance. So I think a lot of the things that open up right now, it's because I have the ability to be able to be in certain places. If I needed to be tomorrow in San Francisco or something, I could hop on a plane. I don't really have to, you know, worry about, you know, feeding my dog. I mean, I'd like to have a dog soon, but like, it's like, you know, you can kind of, you know, keep yourself open like that. So if you can move and shake and like that, things are going to open up even more.
Yeah, it seems to circle back. I love how you use that. You even use it in the opening of what you do and how you do it about being mobile. And it, you know, for me, it comes across to what I see is almost a sacrifice. You have to be willing to almost sacrifice what society has told you is the norm to chase what it is that you find, you know, enthusiastic.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, a lot of, you know, especially like people our age, our parents, you know, it was, you know, you're supposed to have you're supposed to be married by 22 or maybe earlier, have kids then, you know, have your 9-to-5 job, you know, that you're doing every day from Monday through Friday, and then you cut it off after that. But now it really, you know, it never, it's a 24/7, 365, you know, with social media, with the internet, being able to work from, you know, office shop or, you know, being able to work from, you know, anywhere basically. It's opened up, you know, so many more opportunities. You know, it's we're living in a time now where, you know, you could be anywhere and be anything you want. Whereas before, you know, you were kind of confined to what your parents is what you're supposed to do, or, you know, this is what society says that you're supposed to, you know, it's just opened up so much now, we're living in a good time.
Yeah, man. I was going to lead in the next question. What beliefs do you hold dear that keep pushing and driving you? And you kind of covered those, you know, those beliefs. But if you want to expand on that, you know, what do you believe wholeheartedly about maybe your life or what it is you do that keeps you motivated?
I want to set short-term goals and longer-term goals. I mean, sometimes, you know, you don't always have to have the perfect blueprint. Like, here's how I'm going to get there. And but, you know, I think, you know, sometimes it's journey. It's the next opportunity that kind of keeps you excited. It's waking up every day and you know, what's going to happen today? You know, who am I going to meet? What opportunity is going to come about? Like, I think that's the excitement. You know, it's not necessarily saying, oh, I want to have this much, you know, in the bank account, or, you know, it's more of the, I think the experiences, the industry that I'm working in, it's a very, you know, people would do anything to meet a player. And it's like, you know, in my business, it's like, talking to them like the normal person.
Yeah, we're skipping in and out of there.
We skipped it. Yeah.
Here you go. I'll fill you back in because you have me, man. You talk about life's most valuable currency the way I see it, which is time and experience. And I love how you I could see you almost get even more worked up as you talked about your philosophy and how, you know what, I wanted to meet people. And the drive, it seems to be like you're really talking about a bigger meaning other than money, like purpose, as like your belief moving toward a purpose of something or an experience, chasing that marrow of life, if you will.
Yeah, I mean, you know, in life, it's all about experiences. You can't take anything with you. So like when we all die, it's like, yeah, great. If you had cars and houses and stuff, it's like, okay, that's great. But, you know, you can't replace the experiences. And I always tell people, like, you know, if you can get a job where you can work from anywhere, even if you don't make as much money as it would work in an office, like, you know, the freedom of being able to work from anywhere and to travel, I mean, that's greater than anything. I mean, when you wake up and say, I can travel today and I could be here, and like, some people get it. Some people are, you know, too scared to, you know, I can't do that. And it's like, depends what kind of mentality you have. If you have the mentality where you kind of, you know, want to travel, want to see the world, why not? Like, why not be able to you know, there's so much out there. You know, like even like from where you live, like a lot of people think, well, oh, well, my parents live here, my grandparents live here, you know, I'm supposed to live here. But, you know, maybe there's another place for you. Maybe that's, you know, you just haven't found it yet until you travel there. And I think that's why it's good to do it while you're young, because once you get older and you know, you have a lot of these responsibilities, you're not going to be able to do that. So, you know, you want to do that stuff while you're young. You know, there's ways to do it, like on a budget. A lot of times people say, oh, I'm young and I might not have the funds, but there's still a way to kind of do it. You know, it's, you know, opportunities will... Yeah, I always say, like, you are where you're supposed to be. So, like, where you're at right now is where you were supposed to be at the time. And you know, sometimes, you know, there's the, you know, like, it's called FOMO, the fear of missing out. Like, sometimes you're like, oh, I should be here. I should be there. I should be there. But sometimes if you keep thinking like that, you know, you're never going to be able to, like, live in the moment and, you know, realize, like, you know, there's a reason why you're here right now. You know, maybe tomorrow you won't be, but, you know, right now this is why you're here.
Man, that's a beautiful thing. You get me going. It's like you read my book, man. I do. You know, when you talked about I should, I call that shooting all over yourself.
Yeah, that's nice.
We talk about, you know, I should, and even the supposed tos. You know, the supposed tos, or I should be, or I have to. You know, when you can move past those irrationalities of thought, you can really open up almost the impossible to anything. And the way you talk, man, I can see the passion that moves you and being in that freedom. If you would expand more on how you learn to find the freedom outside of chasing the dollar or needing the dollar first to find the freedom.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's a kind of a state of mind when you said about can't or should, it's when you put it in your head, you know, if you start thinking, you know, the negative thoughts and the, you know, well, what could happen? Like, sometimes, you know, my mentality is, you know, thinking just, you know, positive things. Like, if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out for a reason. And, you know, you just gotta keep moving. You know, you just gotta, you know, if you put good things out there, if you plant good seeds, you know, if you plant enough seeds, things are going to start blossoming, and you just gotta put good things out there and, you know, good things will come back. You know, and, you know, a lot of times it's all in your effort. You know, people, you know, the good thing about working for yourself is if something fails, you can put it on yourself and it's your fault. You can blame yourself. You can't blame anybody else. Which is one of the cool things in entrepreneurship is that, you know, sometimes you only have to be right 0.0001% of the time and you can still hit a home run. Whereas, you know, other sports, you know, you might have to be right, you know, baseball 0.3 of the time you're considered to be good. So that's the cool part about his business is, like, you could have, you know, a million ideas and all it takes is that one that to hit big and, you know, you wind up, you know, that could be it. That's the cool part about, you know, business and entrepreneurship is that, you know, you really only have to be right one time.
Man, I love the way you explain that, man. You get me hyped up talking like that. You know, I've been an entrepreneur, man, since my football career ended. And, you know, I just stay hustling, stay focusing. And, you know, a lot of people, I think, misconstrue the entrepreneur lifestyle when you're starting out. Essentially, the entrepreneur nowadays is the new starving artist. And I think people get trapped in this notion that once I work for myself, I'll be free and rich.
Yeah. definitely not that way. It's more of a, you're not going to sleep the first, you know, the first maybe year that you start. You know, your eating habits may be a little different just because you, you know, you're constantly in front of a computer or constantly doing what you do. You got to put in the grunt, you got to put in the work in the beginning. And then it's almost like, you know, you're setting yourself up for the future, but it's not an overnight thing. It's not something that's going to happen, you know, tomorrow. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, I'm an entrepreneur. Everything's fun and easy now, because like you become the, you know, the CEO, the marketer, the finance person, the day-to-day person. You be like, especially when you're starting out your own thing, you're wearing all hats. You're doing everything. So yeah, it's cool to say, yeah, I'm the CEO, but then you're also the sweeper of your floors at the end, because, you know, you're doing everything for your business. You know, but then it just takes time. You know, it's something that, you know, as you work at it, you learn from your mistakes, and, you know, you realize that you have to realize what you're good at and what you're not, and you can outsource what you're not at the time. That's the thing. It's like, you know, maybe for somebody like you, like going and learning to code a website is not your specialty, and maybe it's not worth the time for you to go and, you know, learn that. You know, it's probably better, you know what, I'm going to pay somebody to do my website who knows what they're doing. My time is more valuable spent doing what I do. And I think that's something you have to realize, that, you know, at the beginning, you may have to do a lot of that yourself, but, as you go on, you realize like, that's not my strong point. I don't want it to be my strong point. You know, it's good to know a little bit about everything, but if I can outsource it to somebody who's the expert, then why not? And you just focus on what you're good at. I think that's the thing a lot of people should really focus on, is what are my strengths? You know, what do I love to do, and what are my strengths? Put those together and, you know, and say, all right, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. This is my wheelhouse. This is the thing that I'm best at, that's going to, you know, propel my business to the next level.
You talk about the duplicating of self, and a lot of young entrepreneurs that get into it, it's all about being this self-made person and don't realize that you can't grow, you can't scale that way. And it's about doubling yourself. And I don't know, are we talking about having some humility in that business to realize that you need to, you know, duplicate yourself?
I mean, you're never really going to duplicate yourself. I think there's always, like when you do a job, nobody's ever going to do it the way you want to do it. You just have to sometimes let go of the reins and trust that, you know, they're going to do it the best. And, you know, hopefully they limit the amount of mistakes they make. But, you know, it would be nice if you can clone yourself and say, I want to put one of me in LA, one of me in Orlando, one of me in New York. And then, you know, maybe that day will come. But, you know, it's, you know, you kind of have to, you know, realize, like I said, you have to know what you're good at and, you know, outsource what you're not good at. And, you know, just trust the people that they're going to do their job good. And you know, just, I think that's definitely the key to building, you know, a business is, you know, you after a while, you have to let go at some point if you want to scale, if you want to grow, because you just can't handle everything.
Well, and I see you must be a master at scaling this now that you're involved with multiple businesses. I know Red Carpet Monday, that I have to look back, man. I was in the nightclub business here in Orlando when you guys started that so long ago. And I remember I've seen so many events come and go, you know, being in that nightclub scene, and you guys have held on for so long and have grown so big. I mean, I have to say, man, I'm impressed with the way you guys built that up.
Yeah, we've been doing, we started in 2006, and it's still going today. We host events every month. And there's still, we still get 250, 300 people at the event. It's crazy. Like when, you know, for something to last that long, especially in one city, it's been great. I mean, I met a lot of people through that. I've, you know, helped people start businesses from that. Some relationships started from that. And it's cool to see things that, you know, when you meet somebody, like somebody might not know that I did start that. And then I meet them, and I'm like, oh, where'd you guys meet at? And they say, oh, this event called Red Carpet Monday. Like that's sometimes more valuable, you know, that kind of stuff. When you know that you helped somebody, you know, start a business or, you know, start a relationship. But it's been great. Yeah. We still host them every month, different locations in Orlando. And, you know, we're also in some other markets as well, but Orlando is our, you know, our strong base for that.
Yeah, my nightclub owner profile is still up on Red Carpet Monday, man. I I just moved back to Orlando last July, so I've been meaning to get in touch with that. But, you know, back to that flow state resume of yours on how you allow yourself to grow and how you're managing and seeding two or three different companies and how you plant the seed and get right people in place, then move on. I mean, you seem to have repeated this process numerous times, Ben.
Yeah. It's one of those things where, you know, you don't want to get too overextended, but, you know, you still want to have your hands in different things because, it's like I said about planting seeds. You want to, you know, there's certain things that you, certain companies that you enjoy more than others. And, you know, ultimately you want to focus on what's doing the best and what's, you know, making money and what's being the most influential. But, you know, definitely having other projects that you're involved in, it keeps things exciting. Cause I'm the type of person, I don't like getting bored. I think that's one of the things in life that, boredom is like the biggest fear, I think. And whether it's in relationships, whether it's in businesses, like you want to always be fired up and, you know, what's the next move and what can I go up from here? But once you get kind of stale, then it might be time to either sell it or get out of it or, you know, cut your time back. But you got to have that passion. You always got to have, you know, you got to constantly, you know, wake up every morning and be excited. And I think people even who have that wake up and they're like, oh, I'm working for this job, but I hate it. I can't stand it.
He was just going off too. Well, if you're still, stay tuned in. He'll probably sign back on. He's a tech genius guy, internet guy, and our guys over here too. So I'm sure they'll figure it out in a while, but I don't mind filling airspace time. You know, what question would you ask actually at this point about his business, career, or life? You know, he talks about those sacrifices and being able to move, and boredom is something serious that he brought up. And I think there's two words that we use so much in this society that people don't take as serious anymore. And I would say that would be stress and boredom. Stress is the killer. I mean, you can call it cardiac arrest, you can call it obesity, etc. But this is stress. And boredom is one of the number one causes for relapse and addiction. And I'm going to say money and divorce too. Money and boredom in marriages and in life and depression. I mean, boredom can cause some serious issues. And when you mix boredom and stress together, it can be violent on your life. You know, following those supposed to's or following, I guess, what you think society has told you you have to do. You know, those can build up a lot of stressors in your life and cause some problems and do damage. So, you know, moving toward dreams and following those experiences Ryan spoke to, you know, he talked about his currency was the experiences in life and not necessarily the money. And one of the hardest things to, I think, adapt to is that idea that money isn't the focus of trying to make you happy. Right. It's easy to say when you don't have money or when you have money. But if you don't have money, it seems to be the focus itself, you know. But Ryan talks more about the experiences and those chases. And like I said, he's joined us again. So he's right back with us. We should have camera with him here in a minute. But, you know, Ryan, I was just, you know, recapping everything we had talked about and brought us to the idea of chasing experiences, etc.
Yep. Sorry, I just got back. What was that again? I'm sorry.
Again, no worries, man. I like the empty space time because I do talk too much, so I just use the time to fill the void. So all I really did was recap from the beginning everything that we had really talked about for you. And I mentioned two things that we had mentioned off cuff here, which was boredom and stress. And we talk about them so much, but these two are real killers. You know, boredom is one of the number reasons for addiction relapse. And I would also say probably divorces and bad sex. But outside of boredom, but those things cause boredom and stress. You know, they're influential in our lives. And I would ask you, there's definitely a high stress environment living that flow state life that you do. And how do you balance between, you know, making sure boredom doesn't happen and keeping the stress from being too much?
I think boredom doesn't happen by traveling around and having different atmospheres and not being in the same place over and over. You know, sometimes if you're in a place for a week, that might seem like a long time. Like if I, you know, doing the same in the same place, you know, I need kind of a good change. But I think for me, I like I said, I have to always, I always have to be either working from different places or in a different city just to, you know, and I try to, plan it out to where, you know, a few things might be happening in that city. So like if I go to, I think I went to Orlando recently and like they had the opening of Wahlburgers and then the Magic were playing the Mavericks. And then the next week they were playing Golden State. And then Cuban was in town and we hung out with him and took him around. So it was like, it wound up, you know, everything kind of, you know, happened where you, I was supposed to be there at the time. So it's, it, you know, being, I think the traveling around just keeps it not, you know, not bored. And, you know, it just, that's the way I work best is just, like I said, not working from the same spot and not doing the same things. If you're having fun, you don't get bored.
I like the, when you're not, if you're having fun, you don't get bored. You know, the traveling part, I love it because it keeps you open to all these angles, you know, from here to there to moving. You know, you can say yes to something on a dime, but that's kind of what you mentioned. It's almost like there's no perfect life, right? As if you, it would be difficult, right, to live your kind of life and be settled down completely, right?
Can you repeat that? I broke up the first part of it. Sorry.
No worries. I was just trying to compare about what your lifestyle's like. And if you were to follow social constructs and social norms of the buy the house, get the fence, what could you live the life you're doing?
No. I mean, again, it's you only have so much time. If you have 24 hours in a day and you're, you know, spending, you know, a third of it, you know, managing that part of it, then it's going to take away from the, you know, the working at the business. So, again, it is a balance. And like right now in my life, this is, I like going 100% towards the business. You know, I'm sure later on that'll change. As it does with a lot of people, you have to sacrifice one thing if you're going to, you know, do another. So, it's, you know, for now it works for me. You know, again, a lot of times, you know, some people, like some entrepreneurs have, you know, 5-6 kids and they somehow manage it, which, you know, I don't know how they do it. It's you gotta have a good support system around you. You know, that's what you need to, you know, it's just about setting that up. Cause if you start, you know, having, you know, children and getting involved in businesses and doing that, it just becomes, if you can't handle it and don't have people around you to help you, it just becomes, you know, that's how the stress starts. That's how you feel like you're supposed to be doing everything.
Yeah, and a lot of entrepreneurs want to take that on and do everything. And, you know, that'll lead me in. I got a couple fan questions that have sent in, you know, things that they wanted to ask you. But before I get to those, man, I kind of want to lead in first to open you with a very blatant question of, you know, what is your life philosophy in a whole?
Do good things for people. Give 100% what you do. Don't half-ass it. Like I said, stay mobile, be able to create your own destiny. I don't like relying on people for things. I like kind of taking it on myself. But just always making things happen, planting seeds, seeing where it goes. Cause living fun experiences. You know, you can't take away experiences.
I got a couple questions that are going to come out for some fans, that have posted or commented or emailed in a few questions to the guest or, tweeted questions to the guest. So if you go on the Facebook comments now or on YouTube or somewhere else, you can comment and post on the event a question, and I'll be more than happy to ask that question. YouTube, thank you everyone for tuning in from YouTube. Go to cognitiverampage.com. Can I throw in a shameless plug right now to purchase my book, maybe? But the limited edition is what's available right now. And the Black Book edition will be available everywhere April 15th, bookstores, Amazon, Kindle version, even on my site. But the limited edition is available until April 15th. And that is the white edition, has a couple extras inside, a chance to be on the podcast, a gift from me, plus a personal note. And we only printed X amount. So you will have a personal numbered version of it as well. Remember, it's not just a book. This has an interactive life inventory that you can keep with, that you can unveil a lot of things about yourself and your current life. It also helps you build a life philosophy. That's your life philosophy. So at the end, you will literally have your written life philosophy in front of you that you will have cultivated. That inventory is really fun. It works on the 10 different components in your life that you focus on, but you can get that now. And Ryan, like I said, tech genius, and he's right back on. And you were going into the part about your philosophy, and we lost you about when you said do good things and do good things for people and put your best effort in.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, if you put good energy out there to the universe, you know, good things, you know, always come back. You know, I always say that one of my favorite slogans is the cream always rises to the top. You know, at the end, you know, in business, you're going to come across some people that, you know, you might not be able to trust, or, you know, you deal with so many different personalities and so many different people that, you know, you want to trust everybody. You want to do good things for everybody. You got to just be a good judge. You got to be a good judge of character. And, I think, like I said, if you put enough good things out there, you know, for people and do good things and help people out as much as you can. And, especially later on, you know, after, you know, maybe in the beginning when you're starting out, you know, it might be harder to help people out as much, but, you know, later on, if you can, it just keeps, you know, good things keep happening when you keep doing good things for people. So.
Oh man, that's a good philosophy to live by, man. I'm going to get to these fan questions here at the end that shout out a couple to you, man, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Some of them are going to get very sports related, but, you know, feel free to say like, no, you know, if it's not there. Let's see. I'll start out with something a little bit nicer, which is what's the largest contract you've ever helped negotiate or land for someone?
I think we did a deal for Greg Norman, the golfer. I think that was up in the over $100,000. Like a lot of the stuff we're doing is our appearance related, so it's not necessarily
right,
playing.
It's not a contract.
I think that was over $100,000 deal. You know, the Magic Johnson, Tim Tebow, Tony Hawk, a lot of those. So those were some of the bigger deals. Every athlete has a different price. Like I said, some people do stuff for $1,000. Some people are over $100,000, depending on the quality or the athlete that you're booking.
Yeah, those are, they get high dollar, man. Some athletes and even DJs, et cetera, get up there.
Yeah.
The next question, hold on. I'm going to make sure I'm kind of jumping around. That was D Brown over on Facebook. Appreciate that. What's the weirdest event any one of your clients have ever been asked to attend or do or something to do?
Weirdest event. Get a lot of birthday party requests, a lot of kids' birthday parties. We've actually booked a few of those. We get probably 50 to 100 requests a day. So it's everything from, you know, bar mitzvahs to birthday parties to, you know, big speaking engagements. As far as weirdest events, I'm actually going to be at an event, Justin Bieber's dad's engagement party. I just got invited to bring some talent for that, which was pretty interesting. And they're going to have all kinds of fun camels and tigers and art, naked sushi and art and stuff like that. So like you get to do some cool stuff like that. It's not really weird, but it's interesting.
All right. And so as an agent wannabe trying to get in to either represent athletes, where would you recommend I start?
If you want to actually represent them for playing contracts in that aspect, I would say probably an internship. There's so many different agencies out there. I wouldn't necessarily go into the big ones. You know, there's, you know, the CAAs, the IMGs, a lot of the bigger agencies. They might be a little tougher. You know, they're probably gonna, you know, you're probably not gonna do the work that you're gonna want to, you know, that you're gonna want to do. So there are a lot of middle tier agencies out there. You know, a lot of them will offer internships, job shadowing. I think that's a great start. Because you may not like, some people love sports, but they may not like that aspect of it. They may go into it and realize like, you know, I don't want to, it's a very cutthroat industry when it comes to, you know, you may have a relationship with an athlete, and then somebody could feed them a better story, and then they wind up signing with somebody else after you spend all this time and money trying to, you know, convince them. So it's a tough industry in that aspect. That's why I like our part of our business is we're just doing all the off the field stuff, and a lot of the guys we don't exclusively represent them, so we can bring deals to different guys, which is pretty cool. So, but for his stuff, I would say just try to get an internship, try to get your foot in the door. I mean, if you just go online and look up sports agencies or, you know, sports agents, there's plenty out there. There's probably, 30 to 50 different agencies out there. And it depends. You might want to go for the right, for the top, for the bigger agencies, but they may, you may want to be more of a boutique style where there's only, you know, 3 to 5 people working there.
Having meetings, having met so many celebrities and sports athletes, are there any one or more players that still give you butterflies or the jitters?
I think working with Cuban, I mean, I got to know him over the last, you know, 10 years, which is awesome just because he's just a normal guy, but he still has that aura about him where he's like a badass. You know, he goes into a room wearing a t-shirt and jeans and, you know, no bodyguards will come to meet you. And the guy's, you know, worth billions, own sports teams. And it's still kind of, you know, cool. Like this is the type of guy that, like, you know, now that he's on Shark Tank, you know, everybody knows who he is. Whereas before, people just knew him because he was a sports guy. But now it's like, you know, everybody knows. You know, sometimes guys that, you know, might be your favorite player growing up that you, you know, you've never, haven't met him yet. But I, as we've done events and stuff, I've pretty much, you know, met a lot of the guys that, you know, that I've grew up watching and that were my favorite players. And most of them found me from the internet. A lot of them come through, found me. I've had people, actually, for instance, Danny White, he was a Cowboys quarterback. I'll tell you a funny story. I was in kindergarten, and the teacher asked us to bring in a picture of somebody that we loved. So I brought in a 1982 Topps Danny White. My buddy brought in a Mark Gastineau. He played for the Jets. And everybody else was bringing in pictures of their firefighter, you know, their parents. And like, we were the only two people to bring sports things. So about probably 4 years ago, I get an email randomly. It says, "Hey, Ryan, my name is Danny White. I was the quarterback of the Cowboys. I'm looking for somebody to help me with my marketing and my website. Can you help?" And as soon as this came in, I was like, man, I gotta tell him this story. Like, so I actually called him and explained how I could help his business and, you know, how I can help him with his website. And then I was like, I got a story to tell you. I'm like, I told him the whole kindergarten story. And he's like, that's pretty cool. That's a pretty cool story. But I thought that was like so ironic. Like, this is a, you know, the guy I brought in his card, and then he wound up finding me. That's just the power of the universe. Like, you know, it's one of these things, like, you know, I always think a good thing to do with, for, you know, kids or college students is to create a vision board of, you know, things that you want in life, you know, outlining, here's places I want to go, here's people I want to meet, here's things I want to do, here's things I want around me. And all those things will, if you see them every day, they will happen. And I think a lot of things happen that way for me because I'm always visualizing and thinking, like, this is what I want to happen, and they do. I think that's a good thing that people can do, is to create a vision board and outline those things that you want.
Oh man, I love, you know what, I think I'm gonna ask my daughter to do a vision board now, man. I appreciate that.
I'm telling you, it works. It really works. Like, I did one probably 5-6 years ago. I went and looked back, and every person that I put on there, I wound up either working with them or going there, or it was crazy when I look back. And like, some of them weren't even like, you know, I want to work with this guy. Like, I kind of like just cut it out, put it on there. And I wound up, like, you know, either representing him or booking him for appearance. And it's crazy how it works.
And it is nuts, man. I know a lot of things are out there, like The Secret and all these things, and thoughts become things. But, you know, I too have said a lot of things, man, and stated them every day over and over, and they end up happening, man. But I love that vision board idea. And the last question I'll take is, I think it'll expand you a lot anyway, but what's the toughest part about your job, and what do you hold dear inside that keeps you focused when it gets tough?
Toughest part of the job, I think, is actually almost like knowing when to stop and when to shut off, because with my business, it's nonstop. It never stops. Like, I'm always getting emails, I'm always getting calls, and you could constantly work and never stop, which I really don't. It is a lot of a back and forth sometimes, especially for the booking stuff, where, you know, somebody might be booking an event a year out, and, you know, you may email back and forth 100 times until they actually book somebody, because they're getting manager approval. They're, you know, they got to make sure the name's right. Then they change venue. So, you know, it's a lot of back and forth. You know, sometimes they may say, "Oh, we cancel our event," and you just spent, you know, 100 emails back and forth with somebody over the months. And that's just the nature of the business. But, you know, sometimes you'll get one email and saying, hey, we want to book this person. The next day they wind up booking them. So it's a balance, you know, you get everything. I think with the internet, when you put yourself out there, when you put your information out there, you're going to get emails of everything. So it's just, you gotta deal with it. Somebody like a Cuban, like he gets back to everybody when the people email him, which is crazy. You think that somebody that at that level, you know, doesn't need to be doing that. But I think that's, you know, that's part of why people are, they are successful because they respond back to the people. So.
And the second part of that, they were asking, what deep inside keeps you going? What is it you hold deep inside, you know, that keeps you moving when it gets tough like that?
I think the fear of like failing. I think it's I think it's the failing, which is not bad because, you know, you do learn and it may not, that business may not be the what you were supposed to do. It's not like there's one thing, like I used to want to, like, you know, like, well, you know, own a sports team is way up there, but, you know, it's one of those things, like, you know, that takes crazy bucks to do, you know, which is one of those like fantasy dreams. You know, like, you could always dream like, well, I want to own, you know, a part of a team, even if it's a part of a team. Like if I own 1%, I could still say I own a sports team. So, you know, you could knock it off the bucket list. I just think it's the new experiences, just what does tomorrow hold? I mean, there's not, you know, necessarily one thing that you're trying to achieve. You know, I think it's just the journey along the way, which that makes it the most exciting. If you're just doing cool things and meeting cool people, and like it's, you're living like a, you know, a fun, my one of my business partners calls me Forrest Gump, or he calls me Forrest Totka, because I'm winding up in the most random places sometimes, and he'll tell his stories. Like he's at Eddie Murphy's house one day, then he's at Justin Bieber's party, then he's at this, like, it's just, these are the things that happen sometimes. It's crazy.
So, well, I'm going to have to ask a question after that. What is the most random day that you had?
Random day? Every day. What's that?
Like the one you just mentioned, where like he would say you're Forrest Gump. Where in maybe 48 hours have you ended up in a...
Like last week, I wound up going to dinner with Mark Wahlberg, Tony Romo, and Jason Garrett, the coach of the Cowboys here in Dallas. Like, and it was... I actually got connected with Wahlberg when I was in Orlando, and I randomly sent his assistant an email and said, "Hey, next you guys should come to Dallas because they're scouting locations for his restaurant." And she goes, "He's actually in Dallas tomorrow." She's like, "You want to go to dinner with him?" I'm like, "Sure." I'm like, "Can I bring Romo?" And she's like, "Sure." She's like, "Did he supposed to be there? He wound up not coming." But at this dinner, Jason Garrett, coach of the Cowboys, wound up showing up, and it was like, we're sitting at this dinner with, like, you know, all these people. And it's like, that's the kind of things, like, you never know, like, what's going to happen. You know, it's just from, and the way I met Wahlberg was years ago, I used to help this kid, this musician. He was like 15 years old. I met him in Santa Monica, and I went up to his mom. I'm like, hey, I was like, I represent athletes and celebrities for appearances. I like to help him out. He's got a good voice. And his dad was an owner in Aqua Hydrate, which is, this company right here, you see it. So he was a partner in Aqua Hydrate, and he said that he brought on Mark Wahlberg as a partner. And years went by, and when Wahlberg was opening his restaurant, I was like, "Hey, I'm gonna be in Orlando with Cuban. Does he want to meet?" So he messaged Mark Wahlberg, and we wound up connecting. But that's like the kind of weird stuff that happens. Like it was from helping this kid, his 15-year-old kid, with his music career, that led to that.
You know, for me, what I saw too, you know, and outside of the field itself being that random, is, you know, you put love out there, man. You serve somebody else, and when you put and for no really interest of your own, you put love and service out there, and then you guys wind up all the way fast forward now, sitting at this table that sounds like a Ketel One vodka commercial.
Yeah, or a water commercial. Either one.
Yeah, I mean, it really does. And you know, that's the beautiful part that I see, man, because really what you're doing, you said in the beginning of this podcast, man, is, you know, you're bringing something to them, and what you're doing is really, you're serving other people, and at the same time being able to chase your dream and experience of life, man.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, you the more, like, you never know, like, you know, helping people out. It's like, I got emails all the time from, like, you know, students or so, and like, hey, do you have any opportunities, or like, you know, you want to try to help these people, because like, you see them as you were years ago. You know, they're just starting out and they're like, I want to get in sports. I'm passionate. I'll do whatever it takes. And like you almost see yourself in some of these people, cause, you know, that they want to break in somehow. And like, you want to try to help them. And a lot of times I'll blog on my website. It's just ryantotka.com. I'll blog about like things that I've done or tips to help other people, you know, get into the industry. Cause sometimes it's just one connection or, you know, one tip or something that they did that helps them, further their career along.
Yeah, man, that's a beautiful thing, man. My last question to you, man, and we'll be out of here, but, you know, if you could go back, I don't know, I'd say, what are you, I'm guessing 35, 36, maybe.
38 now, getting old.
All right. If you could go back, sorry to put you out there, but if you could go back to your 21-year-old self, what advice would you give him?
Well, I'd probably buy all the domain names that became valuable. That's the one thing I said. If I could go back to like 1994, when the URLs came out, I just bought those general domain names, and you could just sit back on that real estate, that virtual real estate. That's really the one thing, like, you know, when, besides like going back to when, back in the 50s, like buying like baseball cards, like Mickey Mantle baseball cards, like, you know, I always say I wish I could just buy these domain names, but, it's one of those things, like you gotta learn your mistakes.
Oh, I'm not losing you on this advice, man. Hold on, man. You got to come back. There you go. You there? Oh, man. I can't lose you on this advice part, Ryan. You got to come back, man. I love it how if I ask him to go back in time, the advice he opens up. I don't think he's joking either. The businessman himself, you know, he's an entrepreneur at heart, right? Because he goes, well, if I could go back to the future. And still he wants the chase, right? Still the challenge. It would be like, well, no, I'd buy all the domain names, right? It's still about making that move or making that next
really chain
smart angle, brother. And what, you back? Are you back, man? We lost you there for the last 30 seconds, Ryan.
I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. One second. Let me see if I can reset the camera here.
Yeah, we're back now.
All right, man. So we lost you right after the, I love how you joked, man.
You still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
Yeah, I was joking about how even the advice you'd give to your 21-year-old self was still the entrepreneurial challenge guy. If I could go back, yeah, it would be like what's Biff doing Back to the Future with the sports bookie book?
What did he do? I forgot.
Remember, he gets the almanac, the sports almanac, and he starts betting.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of like what you did. But then we lost you there. So you started. What advice would you give yourself, man?
I probably would have traveled a little bit more when I was younger. But then again, like, I think it happened the way it's supposed to happen. Like, even if you do it later on in life, because, you know, you kind of, when I was starting out, I was kind of like, you know, you work in your place and you kind of get in your groove and you wind up like, you know, you just become, you know, I have to do whatever it takes to be successful. It's not like I would have changed my effort, because I don't think I always gave, I never, if I'm wasting time, I feel like I wound up feel like I should be doing something else. So it's like, I couldn't go back and say, I wish I would have gave more effort, because everything led to the next opportunity to where I'm at right now. But I mean, you know, what advice I give? I mean, I would just say for people who are, you know, young, I would just say to network as much as you can. You know, that doesn't mean you have to do business with everybody. I mean, just basically, you know, to everybody, you know, could offer you something down the road. Whether it's, you know, like I said, I was helping manage this kid, 15-year-old kid, and it wound up being leading to the Mark Wahlberg opportunity. So it's like, you just never know who's going to come across your path that could lead to the next thing. So never, just because somebody, you know, might be in a different industry or somebody that you meet, you know, if you're passionate and you tell them like, this is my goal, this is what I want, you know, they might wind up, you know, finding you later on in life. And you know, I have a lot of people that wind up booking athletes through me that I've known for years that wound up seeing me on Facebook from the events that we book. And, you know, somebody that I you know, just a Facebook friend, and like, oh, I saw we're having a conference coming up, and they wound up using me for that. So you just never know who you, you know, who could affect your life that you come across every day.
You know, I love that you struggled actually to answer that in the beginning, because that tells me that you have no regret. It tells me that you have, you really live by what you say about trusting the universe and being where you believe you're supposed to be at that time.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like I said, at the time you might get involved in a project and you're like, you know, it turns out you lost money, but then it's like, you know, I learn to the next thing, you know, it led to the next thing and where I'm supposed to be right now. So it's, yeah, it's, yeah, you could be bitter about it, but then if you're going to constantly be bitter, then it's like, you're just going to hold yourself back instead of letting it go. All right, the next, move to the next thing, the next opportunity. It didn't work out for a reason, the next thing. So it's, you know, you just got to have to face that. You got to face that fact. You know, you got to, you know, a lot of times people have ideas and all the time, and somebody else starts it and they're like, oh, that was my idea. I should have did it. It's like, yeah, well, everybody has ideas. Like they're, you know, everybody has them. It's like, if you don't execute, what good is it? You know, it's, you know, everybody has an app idea or a website idea or a social network idea. But it's the ones who execute, and, you know, it's not an overnight thing. It's not something that's going to happen overnight. You know, it's time, money, effort. Like there's a lot of things that go into making it successful. People just think, you know, a lot of people think it's an overnight, you know, success, all these businesses. It's not, it's the, they don't see the, a lot of the struggles that you went, you know, the, you know, not sleeping at night to get it going. You know, that's a lot of people just see the successes. They don't see the, you know, what did he go through? You know, how many bad relationships did he deal with because they couldn't handle him working all the time. So it's a lot of that stuff that people don't see that, you know, a lot of times there's more of that than the actual, you know, the success part that people see.
I'd agree, man. And the way you live your life, man, you know what we call that, man?
What's that?
We call that living your cognitive rampage.
Nice. Exactly. Exactly. I would have bought the cognitiverampage.com, but I think it's taken.
Yeah. It's definitely taken.
You better get all versions, including misspells too, because cognitive people may misspell cognitive. That's smart.
Right.
That might be the smartest. you know, what's funny is the Dallas Mavericks, their website, to buy shirts. Like here's one of the shirts, the Mav shirt. It was mavgear.com. That's the actual site to buy. But I would always go to Mavs Gear because that's the team they call them Mavs. And that website would actually go to like a blank page. It wouldn't go anywhere. So I email Mark. I'm like, you should probably have your tech people forward that, because how many more people, every time I would do it, I would go to a blank page. How many more people would do that? So like, you know, that it's sometimes being stupid or being make a mistake or not being able to misspell could be your biggest idea, you know?
Dude, you're right on. We ran a company called primalnature.net a while ago when I took people on these really wild primal excursions. And when I talk about primal, they were primal. And more people misspelled Zambezi River for Africa than anything. So any bookings from there all came from the misspelling of the domain.
Yeah. There's people run businesses strictly on misspelled domain names, mistypes, misspells. I was just talking to my buddy last night. That's what he does. You know, he'll find these domains that expire that are misspells, common misspells and names. And people will, you know, sometimes you make money off of people's stupidity, which is crazy, but it's
kind of like me. We don't own the misspelled version. Steve, are you on that? Get on that, Steve.
Too late, bro. I already bought it. I already got it while you guys were talking.
Oh, man. Oh, my God. No, you're not.
No. No, but seriously, you buy it because, like I said, I misspelled cognitive a few times when I was typing it in.
Buy that, man.
And I would think I'm... Yeah. It's $8 on GoDaddy. You need to like secure it. It's the best. Sometimes it's the best thing you could do.
All right, you viewers, if I find you and you're the ones watching that went in and purchased this, I will find you. No, I'm kidding, man. Hey, dude, will you do this again with me?
Yeah, man, this is fun. Maybe we get some athletes on it next time for you too.
Oh, that'd be kind, man. I actually will be anchoring a new show on ESPN Radio Orlando 580, the team.
Okay.
I'll be hosting that show starting in May. It's called Fit Project Radio. And nice. It's a rather large reach, but it's a whole new show. We're going to be in the community, finding those 95% of the athletes that don't get a lot of exposure that, you know, that you're not going to see on ESPN Sports Center, not the LeBron Jameses, et cetera, but, you know, a lot of those ones that are, you know, need exposure, even the community athletes, like the guy or gal that's winning 8 triathlons or something like that, but real community involved.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I can definitely get you some people involved in that. Get you some guests on the show.
That'd be fun, man. I'd love to have you back on too, man. And I appreciate you agreeing because we could probably go off. I want to get deep into your psyche too, man, and go further in there.
Awesome. Yeah, this is fun. This is cool. Let me know how I can help in any way.
Yeah, and the Rampage mic is open for anybody that you know, anybody like the kid you're helping or anybody else that you think lives a cognitive rampage and needs that open mic, dude. We're in 110 countries, all 52 states. We got a decent wide net, man. So I'd love to extend that same help back to you.
Yeah, sounds good. I appreciate it.
Yeah, man.
Cool, man.
This is the live version. The podcast will be up probably later on today or tomorrow morning.
Awesome. I'll put it out there. Thank you.
Thank you, brother. Love you, man.
Yeah, man. All right. You too. See you, buddy.
Bye. Well, everybody, I hope you enjoyed the Cognitive Rampage podcast with Ryan Totka. You can find information on him at ryantotka.com. That's TOTKA.com, as well as athletespromotion.com, redcarpetmonday.com, elitejets.com. Show him the X with Dez Bryant. I mean, it goes on and on. The man is quite an entrepreneur. We're trying to keep the podcast shorter. I used to go for 3 hours sometimes. We have a lot of those podcasts. Generally, when I'm talking about a topic that I'm really deep into, psychology, addiction, philosophy, conspiracy, etc., check out the Jason Crabtree podcast. His was it'll keep you up at night. I've listened to that one a few times trying to keep up with all the competence he's laying down. But to put Jason Crabtree out there, he has joined the Cognitive Rampage Tribe of Change. He is the lead aware wolf as his brand that he puts out there, helping people become more aware of what's out there. But again, back to, he'll actually be on tour with us too. It'll be Danny, myself, Danny, you've seen on the podcast numerous times, myself, as well as Tantum Knox is what I should say, actually. So apologize there, brother. But anyway, Ryan Totka's full of a lot of experiences. You know, I love the fact that he talked about experience as being what he's after, as what he's chasing. You know, I can look back as a young entrepreneur many times and chasing my passions and dreams, and sometimes that gets clouded with money. You know, we would say that, you know, if I just get that investor, or if I can just make this work, then I'll be there. You know, if I just can, then I'll reach then. But we have to be careful with that. We can't talk to ourselves like, when I get this, then I'll be. You know, and it seems that Ryan really lives in that moment, you know, and it allows him to move in that flow state of life. You know, his business becomes his life. But when you do what you love and you follow your passions, then you're really just following your life, and your life becomes your passion, because that's what it's about. It's about revealing your authentic self, making your life your passion, and feeding that passion, because passion will die on you. It doesn't last. You have to feed that passion with competence to keep that enthusiasm fueled so you can keep moving to that next experience, to that next transition, to that next evolution or blossom of change, to that optimized you. You know, there's a balance between, you know, self-acceptance and apathy and truly being happy in the now while searching for optimization. And, you know, that's what the Cognitive Rampage book is about. Shameless plug again one more time, but you can buy the limited edition now. Interactive inventories, lifestyles, life philosophies, etc. But the regular edition, not the limited, the Black Book edition, as we call it, will be available April 15th everywhere online and bookstores. And we are leaving on tour on April 15th. I will be in Tampa doing the F&K podcast. Maybe a shout out on 98 Rock. I don't know. But I'll be doing the F&K podcast, speaking at a couple universities in Tampa. Then we will go to Fort Lauderdale, Nova Southeastern University, where I'm a graduate from. I'll be speaking there to some young counselors, hopefully, and as well as doing Jeremy Pound's podcast. Jeremy Pound has been on this podcast. I love that show. One of the most downloaded shows on TCR. But check him out. His podcast, New Customer Machine, I'll be on that, as well as speaking at the Nova Southeastern University. Then back in Orlando on Sunday, we will be at the Enzion doing a live podcast as they're wrapping up a film festival there out at the Enzion. Then we will leave here Monday morning and head to Jacksonville, where I will be at Jacksonville University. We will be interviewing some people there for the podcast. I'll be talking about the book and putting my theoretical approach on display. That's the cool part. I'm just not going to be a guy on stage talking about some boring psychological and theoretical approach to life optimization. All right. That's boring and dull. What I'm going to do is talk about my theoretical backings a little bit and outline it for you for about 15, 20 minutes. And then I'm going to pull somebody out of the crowd, a volunteer. Obviously, I'm not going to pull someone, but a volunteer out of the crowd, put them on stage and perform my approach right then and there live and put it to the test and see. And let's see what the results are. Let's see what we come up with. But that's what I'll be doing all the way up to New York and Boston area for 10, 11 days straight. So from Jacksonville, we go to Atlanta. Tuesday, we'll be in Atlanta on the 19th. On 4/20, we will be in Nashville after we get through Chattanooga. But in Nashville, doing a live concert series podcast up there with Tantum Knox and his group and a couple musicians. That'll be fun. Then on Thursday, we will trek it across to Washington, D.C. and meet up with Lee Camp from Redacted Tonight and see what he's got going on. They record Redacted Tonight on Thursday nights in D.C. and they air that on Fridays on the RT America Network and on YouTube. Perhaps we will even interview Lee Camp and maybe check out his podcast too, though. It's called A Moment of Clarity. But then we leave D.C. to Baltimore, Baltimore to Philly, all day Philly on Saturday. Then we go to New York on Sunday. We'll be in New York Sunday, Monday, half the day Tuesday. Then we drive to Boston, all day in Boston on Tuesday and Wednesday. And then on the 28th is a special secret location we will be doing a live broadcast from. That's the tour. Whew. That's a lot of advertising, but hope you're taking care of you. Go to AdamLowry.com, CognitiveRampage.com, even the misspelling.com, and grab your limited edition. I love you. Hope you're taking care of you. Hope you're living your cognitive rampage.